The Notaries Unsealed podcast is brought to you by the Georgia Notary Network and Captivated Notary Marketing Solutions. Coming up on this episode.
Are you capable of not allowing society to dictate, you know, what you should be doing?
Because I really didn't know what I was looking for to make me believe that I could do the business.
I've made the decision. I wouldn't have gone down this road had I not felt comfortable and seen everything that was going to come with it.
Real smooth this time.
We know the reads unsealed. That's my everyday life.
Yeah.
We know the reads unsealed.
Ooh. Every day I hustle out here living it right.
Let's go.
We know the reads unsealed.
Put the stamp down and stop in front of the mic.
Here we go.
Took the game over. We home now. We soldiers.
Griff Mathurin and cue the podcast. You can't hold us.
Y'all heard the word. Y'all heard the word.
What's going on, Notary World? Welcome back to another episode of Notaries Unsealed. I'm your host Q. I got my guys with me, Mathurin and Uncle Griff. Say what's up to the people, fellas.
Hey, what's going on, folks? Oh man, I'm glad to be back. Look, it's been a past rough couple of days, but you know, I am here. I'm happy to be back, happy to be with the fellas, about to give you guys another great episode of the Notaries Unsealed podcast, the number one notary podcast.
He needs some milk.
But we good, man. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. What's going on, party people? This your man, Griff. Now, if I sound like I'm real far away, that's because they told me I got to have the microphone a little bit further because they keep talking about I might fall asleep on y'all.
Oh, if y'all seen his eyes right now, listen, it's 10 o'clock Sunday night. Griff look like he about to nod out on us. So if you hear like a loud thump, it's Griff and I'm going to crack up laughing and I'm not editing it out. I'm telling you right now.
If you hear that.
Yeah, we're going to put you on blast to the 200 listeners that we get every week.
Oh, man. Now, everything's good, man. Everything's good. I'm actually sort of a little on the relaxed side. It really was the reason why I relaxed. I ate a little too much today.
What you eating, man?
Had some ice cream and some other stuff, and I'm like, oh, man, I should eat all that.
It was
some vanilla ice cream and then some chocolate fudge ice cream.
Oh, look at that.
I don't like chocolate fudge.
Man, you don't like anything.
Anything. I'm serious, I don't.
Hey, it is what it is.
Shoot. I was trying that, and then I got me some green tea ice cream too.
Hold on, Griff. Nah.
Well, you can't just stroll by that like that's a normal thing.
Yeah.
What the hell is green tea ice cream?
Please
Why are you eating it? Explain that.
Well, you know, you got different types of green tea. And one of the better ones is called matcha.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And matcha green tea is real strong and it's real good for like you know, like if you don't want to do coffee, drink you some matcha green tea.
That's pretty good.
Right.
That keep you.
So why has this been translated to ice cream? It sounds like it's too healthy and it defeats the entire purpose of ice cream. Oh, it's good.
Hold on.
I like the tea, but I never thought about having it in ice cream.
Nope, we're done here.
Oh, look. What am I showing y'all? Tell them what I'm showing y'all.
Some white
chocolate.
Green tea, macadamia. Okay. I mean, that's cool. That's cool and all that. Yeah. But we're talking about ice cream. Like Allen Iverson was talking about practice. We talking about ice cream, bro.
Ice cream.
Why are you having...
I like matcha green tea and white chocolate. I like macadamia nuts. So I got that from Sam's Club. Then I went to the Kroger and they got the green tea there. So I got green tea ice cream. And I'm just like
Griff, you might want to check your stamp. All the ink ain't there right now.
Nah, Griff. So I'm highly gonna pass on that. See, I know I like my herbs and stuff, but nah, not in ice cream mode.
Man, it's good. That green tea ice cream is good. I mean, it's just like getting a mango ice cream.
No, it's not. When you want mango ice cream, you get mango ice cream. It doesn't say green tea.
Yeah,
no.
And it's green, man. It tastes just like this.
Nah, it's real good.
And that's the reason why I say no.
Nah, we all said no.
I don't need that for my ice cream. Give me chocolate chip cookie dough, something fattening that's gonna make me feel bad about myself 2 minutes later. Like that's what I want in my ice cream. Not freaking green tea. Yeah. It makes no sense. Nah. This is an abomination. Griff, you're losing your card.
Griff, you're your
right now. Your sweets card, it's been revoked for the night. I'm sorry, man.
You're on that one, Griff. Sorry.
You know what? I might slip out and go grab me some just for the heck of it.
You're going to pop up on IG tomorrow.
Wait, green tea ice cream.
That's right.
Yeah, you know, a little tub of green tea ice cream. Like, y'all going to know what this is about on Tuesday.
Yep.
Yeah. But no, I've been doing good, man. This month, I did less than 70 closings this month.
Less than.
More than 60, what? But less than 70. Yeah. More than 60, less than 70.
All right.
So you
be like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so you're right there.
Yeah.
Be so, like that. You straight.
And then I had a signer actually not like me.
Oh, really?
Really?
I'm surprised.
Yeah.
You don't say.
Yeah. They did not say like what? Me.
So what happened, Griff?
Well, here's what happened. I get to the signing and I walk in and it was for a home build. It was for modular homes. The manufactured home, not modular, the manufactured homes. So I get there and the guy who runs the company, the general manager, he was like, I need to pull documents out of what you got there. And I'm like, what do you mean pull documents? And he was like, well, I need documents out of there and I need to pull them out. Nobody told me. So he was like, had this one section of documents that he wanted to go over with them. And I just went real stoic. I had no personality, because I was like, what the heck is going on here? I'm trying to conduct this closing. And this dude done took the documents, start going through them, pointing this out, pointing that out. I'm trying to hand them to the, I was like, okay, what's going on?
Oh, hell no.
So we get through it and everything. And that was on Wednesday. So I had to go back on Friday because her son was signing. It was a dual one. So I went back on. Then they told me I had to leave the documents there. So that was weird. Go there, she signs, leave the documents there. Come back on Friday for the son to sign. And
alrighty then.
I'm feeling a lot better now. So I'm like, okay, I understand how the flow is going. So I do the oath with him. I said, and his mom was there. So I said, do you solemnly swear or affirm under penalty of perjury for the Commonwealth of Virginia that the answers you give to the affidavits are true to the best of your knowledge? And remember, your mama's right there. And they cracked up. She was like, you just redeemed yourself with me. I had no idea that she wasn't feeling me until she said that. She was like, you just redeemed yourself with me, because I was like, you were so serious the other day. She was like, do you have a twin? Because you are a completely different person. And she said, I got to tell the guy, the gentleman, you know, Scott, that, okay, that he missed it. You know, you are funny. You cracking me up. And I told her, I said, ma'am, you were stressed. This guy tells me he got to take stuff out of my documents. I'm normally running the show with this here. And all I knew to do was just to be quiet, let y'all do y'all thing so we can get through this. And she said, yeah, when I think about it now, that was probably the best thing. But she said, you were just so robotic. It had no personality. She was like, what's wrong with this guy? I said, but we got through it, right? She was like, yeah. I was like, okay, we good then.
So
I said, I'm just trying to make sure you don't walk away from this deal.
That's all that matters.
So, boy, she was not feeling me at all.
It happens. Yeah. It happened. That tends to be the trend lately with you.
Ain't everybody's cup of tea. You know, maybe put some of that matcha green tea stuff in your tea.
That's what more the problem was. Like, she didn't have no green tea. And I didn't have my green tea. So, yeah.
There it is.
Well, yeah, no, this, yeah, it's been good, man. And I did a video about how one of the notaries, and give a shout out to Crystal Boyd. Right after that same signing with the manufactured home, the second one, there was no way I was going to be able to make it back home into my next signing. And goodness gracious, where that dude was at, he was so far in the country. It was a 2 mile drive to his house from the main road.
That's not bad.
That's how deep in the country he was.
That's the type of country I want.
Yeah, I know, right? That's not bad at all.
Look, somebody come to your house, be like, why didn't you call? Well, I was around the way. Ain't nobody around the way out here. You could have called, get back with a shotgun.
Yep. And he had some water behind the house. And so the young lady Crystal, she you know, I knew she had an office that she was working out of, and she was able to get the documents printed for me and everything, so I didn't have to try to drive almost an hour home.
Man, that's good.
And then come back an hour. So that helped me out tremendously. That's but man, good.
Shout out to Crystal.
That dude. Ooh, yeah, Crystal Boy, CB's notary. I'm going to tell you, yeah, she was a lifesaver. You know, she that's I think awesome. She was done for the day, and she came back and, you know, helped me out and stuff. But
boy, that's because you're Uncle Griff. That's because you're Griff. If you was anybody else, I'm not saying anything bad about Crystal, but when Griff call you, you do what you got to do.
Yeah, shout out to Crystal Boy.
Yeah. And me and her have been tight because Ebony Locke did an event like I think a year and a half, 2 years ago. And Crystal was the most attentive one there. And ever since that time we met, me and her been talking off and on, maybe, you know, a couple of times a year. And she's growing her business and expanding and just doing wonderful things. So I'm very, very proud of her and what she's doing. And all of that, she passed good information on to me, vice versa back to her. So, you know, she's solid. And then she just started listening to the broadcast also. So yeah, she's a solid person. But
awesome. Well, thank you for listening, Crystal. We appreciate it. That was not a that wasn't from the soundboard. That was NASCAR 500, Indy 500 outside Mathern's house.
Yep, and it's ready.
Y'all got. I know. You got me thumping on the microphone, and then Mathern sitting up there with his guys in the background racing and stuff.
I pity myself that I gotta be with these fools.
I'm serious. And you're a constable, man. You need to go out there and pull your badge out on them.
What's that gonna do? It? What's that gonna do at this time of night? Like, I'm not evicting anyone.
You can confiscate the cars, man. Nah, we can sell them. You can confiscate the cars, man. Then come back with sell them and split
like,
the money.
Like, guys, they told me I'm gonna rent a car. They said I was top flight security.
Top flight security of the world, Craig.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. No, life been good, man. Things been good, man. A wife doing good. Son's doing good. Man, you know, everything is good, you know.
Yeah,
I'm just chilling.
That's good, Griff. That sound like it.
What's going on with you, Q?
Oh man, can I get a sound for this?
Cause it does need it. Chief, mate, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
That's how things are for me right now. I'm just trying to take over the world. Things are great. I've been so busy that I don't really know what to say. It's kind of been a whirlwind. I started off with a small project. Some of you guys might have seen it on Instagram. The shout out to Daniel Rosebud. I've been working with him. He's got an event coming up in Atlanta on May 12th and 13th called the Atlanta Economic Mobility Forum. In partnership with the Truist Foundation and a couple of other folks. It's a great initiative. He works with a lot of nonprofit and for-profit businesses to try to get and stimulate some type of economic change within the Atlanta area. And ever since I got brought onto the project, it's just been really busy. And it's almost kind of turned into a part-time job almost, but it's been just a pleasure to step outside of the notary world and continue to grow captivated to what it is and grow as a designer and add to my portfolio. So I've been extremely busy with this event. I am getting to design some things that I didn't think that I was going to be able to do, you know, within the notary world anytime soon. So it's been pretty awesome. You know, when you're sitting there coming up with something that people are going to be taking a picture in front of, you know, it's going to be highlighted online and in the media and whatnot, you know, it takes you kind of have to step back and appreciate where you are, you know, especially since this all started from a joke, you know. So that's how things are going for Captivator right now. The skill set is growing, the vision is growing, the opportunities are growing, they're getting bigger, and I'm just enjoying this ride. That's where we're at right now, man.
No, that's good, man. Congratulations on that. You know, of course, we wish you nothing but success But you have been putting in the work. You have been putting in the work. So now, you know, all the late nights, you know, all the investment that you made within your business, it's time to pay off now. So that's what it is, man. So, you know, keep pushing.
Yeah. I am going to keep pushing because I'm getting to a point where I'm looking at the computer that I built and I'm like, oh, crap, I need to upgrade again. Like, that didn't take too long.
Nope, not at all. So are you planning on building another one or are you just going to go buy one?
No, I would never buy one. Oh, man, what kind of consumer do you think that I am?
There you have it.
Well, I will build my computer for $1,000 less than what it would cost if you bought it in the store.
Jeez. Yep, there it is, folks. If you need a computer built, reach out to Q.
Yeah, hit me up. I will definitely take care of you. That's another service that I could add on to Captivated because I do it. But yeah, it's been some time growing, you know, over the past month, a lot of growing pains, you know. In earlier episodes, I was talking about hitting a plateau and kind of just waiting for that next mountain to climb. You know, I've positioned myself with a mountain that's ready to go. I told you guys that things are happening for the NNA and their stage shirts for their event coming up at the Notary. What's the official title? It's the Notary Summit.
NNA Conference.
Yeah, the Notary Conference. I forget the official title of it. Out there in Scottsdale, Arizona this year. We're just waiting for them to press go on that so that way you guys can get them. They're actually available on the website. So if you're interested or you're going, plan on attending the event, I do have the stage shirts for the kickoff event. And you guys should know more about that soon. I've just been so consumed with this project that I've been working on. I haven't really followed up on them, you know. And the funny thing about business is, you know, you look at mountains and you see, you know, as I spoke about being on a plateau and looking to climb the next mountain, and then when you climb that mountain and then the next mountain comes and that mountain that you just climbed looks like a molehill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's kind of where I've been right now in this journey going into my second year of running this thing. Is, you know, I had my sights set on things that that looked so big when they were so far away, but once I got to them and achieved them, I really realized how small it really was, you know. And I don't know, I guess that's just my perspective on things, you know. I kind of look, I have that mentality that I'm going to eat up anything that comes out my way and spit it out. So, you know, it looked like it was going to be a hard task or not an easy feat to get into the same spaces as some of the people in the notary business and to get, you know, on people's radars. You know, that was actually an easy thing to do now that I look back at it. It didn't take a lot of hard work to do. Like, it did take hard work.
Yeah.
But as far as, like, the time and effort to do so, like, all it did was cost me time and focused effort. And, you know, we were able to get to the Level Up Summit. You know, we were able to have those conversations with some of the top notary people and to get on their radar. We were able to get onto the NNA's radar. Now we're branching out and doing other things and pulling in big projects. I mean, this is a big event. It's got an award show that's like people dressed up in gowns and everything. Like,
that's amazing.
You know, yeah, there's just so much that's going into that where it's just like, man, you know, just staying focused in the moment and being a part of it is all great. But when you look back, it's like, man, that was nothing.
Yeah.
Give me some more.
All right, more you shall receive, man. You know, like the growth that you've had the past year has been amazing. I'm sure I'm not the only one who noticed it. Because I remember when we were first talking about, you know, Captivated, you know, it was merely an idea that you know, that you was thinking about, you wanted to bring it to life, but you understood that there was different aspect of it because you didn't want to just come out and provide any type of service. So you, at that point, you kind of had like a vision of what you wanted to do and the type of space that you needed to be in. So one thing that have contributed to your growth is the fact that you didn't align yourself with just anyone. Like, you didn't just start doing random projects for people. Like you, you end up sticking to your values and your belief, which, you know, over a period of time, even though you went through like a few months where things were slow and then starting to pick back up, is the fact that you understood what it is that you wanted to accomplish, and you stuck to your goals, and now you are seeing the reward of everything that you had put together, the vision, the idea. Like we laughed about some of this thing, you know, as time goes by, but now it's been like a year later, and you are like you are branching out to these different companies, networking. And it's amazing. I think it's the fact that you truly believe in yourself and your vision, and you did not allow anything else to dictate how you was going to move within this industry.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, Matthew, and you're absolutely right. It is a bit of tunnel vision. Mm-hmm. There have been sacrifices, a lot of sacrifices that have come with that, especially when it comes to my family. And, you know, and the sacrifice is still going on, but I know that I still have time, you know, willingly, you know, to the Most High, you know, willingly, to make up for it, because I'm doing what's necessary to put my family back in the position that it's supposed to be in. Which kind of leads us to our topic for this evening. And, you know, just as people, and not just as business owners, you know, we'll speak on as being business owners. You know, there comes a time where you really have to ask yourself, can you actually do this? Is it going to work? And I think that a lot of people ask that question too late in their process, especially, you know, for first time entrepreneurs, and for folks that haven't really worked hard in a W-2 or achieved much in a W-2 role. When you go to step out on your own, you know, I think that we have to train ourselves to be able to ask that question, can I actually do this, a lot earlier than right when the business is starting to fail. See, like with Captivated, being in those plateau months, being in those times where there was absolutely no projects coming in, no money coming in, I'm like, crap. Do I need to go out there and give my time away to something else that's not my goal, not my dream, not my passion? You know, do I go give that time to somebody else and exchange it for dollars, or do I stick here and stick to my guns? Because I know that I've got something.
Yeah. Now, you know? So you know, I'm glad you mentioned that. You know, in most situations. And I'm not saying, I'm not trying to sound harsh right now. I know most situations when things do get rough, especially for someone who's trying to start a new business, the easier way is to go back to a 9-to-5. There's nothing wrong with you working a 9-to-5, but in Q's and from Q's perspective, he understood what he wanted to accomplish, and he kind of had it in his mind that, okay, there are going to be some rough patches. I'm willing to get through those rough patches, and, you know, do I go trade my time in just because, you know, I'm not getting any customers, I'm not getting in business, or do I stay focused on the goal? And because you remain focused on the goal, it's now you're in a position where, you know, you are 10 times ahead than, you know, as far as, and it, you know, you are 10 times ahead, but it's only within a year. So if you had decided to go back to a W-2 halfway where Captivated is right now, I think that will probably set you back at least a couple years.
Oh yeah, there's no way that I would have been able to get to where I'm at right now had I stopped and said, okay, let me stop dedicating so much time to this and now give this time away to another entity. There's no way that I'd be able to be where I'm at right now.
Not absolutely.
It's not even possible. That's the tough part about being an entrepreneur and just being a person in general. Like, you don't know what you're made of. You don't know what you're able to withstand. You know, are you capable of living outside of your comfort zone? Are you capable of giving up, you know, the comforts of society to go out and get what's yours?
Not only that, I think, you know, are you capable of not allowing society to dictate, you know, what you should be doing? Because everyone has their own success. Everyone has their own version of what success is to them. Like, if you're too busy focusing on what society is telling you what you should be doing, whether you're 20, whether you're 30, whether you're 40, whether you're 50, there are people that are accomplishing their goals in the late 50s, mm-hmm. going to 60s. So you have to define what success is to you and how you plan on reaching that, you know, that success within whatever it is you're trying to accomplish it, not what other people is telling you to do. You know, I think that kind of goes back to as far as the mindset. I know we talked about mindset before in the past, but pretty much in everything that you are doing, your mindset will dictate whether you are successful or whether you are a failure.
Nathan, what about you? Have there been some instances recently or in the past where you've kind of had to take a look and say, you know what, I'm just going to go for it?
Man, look.
Or is that something that you're still struggling to do right now?
In certain things, yeah. In certain things, yes. Because, you know, I think one of the issues that I have, and even my wife would admit to it, you know, my wife would agree with me, is the fact that at times I allow myself not to think about the bigger picture because I'm so focusing on, okay, what can I accomplish now? What do I need to do to make sure everything that I'm doing right now is flowing properly? And, you know, like, I do admit there are times where when I had a speed bump and I'm like, man, so maybe I should have did this different. Maybe I should do that different. Then I start allowing myself to overthink. And that's where the support system come in, because she'll put me right back on the path. Like, I don't know what you're doing right now. you know what the long goal is. Stop allowing these, you know, these minor issues to become a bigger problem when they don't have to be. So, you know, it's definitely, you know, I definitely deal with it. And I feel like, you know, within business or personal life or anything like that, you know, that's something that as an individual, you must learn how to adapt to it and make the changes as it goes. I think we just lost Q.
Oh, man. Well, man, that's right on time then, man. Yeah, because, oh, man. Look, you're right, man. You got to, for me, I had to make a decision. I said, can I really do this business? And I really didn't know what I was looking for to make me believe that I could do the business. But it was at a point where one day, I put it this way, I was seeking and looking for the answer that told me how this business can work and make me money. And when Bill Soroka said, every house that has a mortgage needs a notary. When he said that, I was like, okay, I can do this business. That's when I realized, I was like, okay, I can make it happen. So now I just got to get good at this thing. Then I said, well, can I really do this full time without a job? I wasn't sure. And I said, okay, how much money do I need to make? And I was like, okay, I just said $6,000. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, if I can make $6,000, okay, well, right now the average fee is like $85 a order. So I came to the conclusion that if I did about 70, 72 orders a month, I'll be all right. So I said, okay, well, am I willing to do that? Can I really go out there and do it? And as y'all see, you know, last 2 months, one I did 70 something and next I did 80. So I'm like, yeah, I can do this. And then I just had to not allow myself to talk me out of it, because that's the big thing there, is that sometimes we can talk ourselves out of it. We've already done the research. We've done all the training. We've done all of the talking with our families, got all that straight. And then next thing you know, boom, we find some reason to talk ourselves out of it.
Absolutely.
Or we listening to somebody, and because that person has issues within themselves, because they aren't confident in their ability or their commitment to do dot, 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 then we take on their fear, their lack of commitment, their struggle. And we say, you know what? If he can't do it, then I can't do it, you know, and I had to remove that from my mind. I had to say, you know what? I have to do this. There's no reason. I don't see any reason for me not to do it. And the only time you really can see that you can't do something is when you start trying to do it.
Yeah.
The biggest mistake I think some people make is that they, before they ever get to do it, they already tell themselves they can't. And I said, before I say I can't do this, I said, I got to put forth every effort to correctly do it. If I can figure that out, that I'm going to go ahead on and go out here and do this thing correctly.
Exactly.
Then I can determine whether or not it's something I can do. But I had to stop. And see, I guess what makes it easy for me now is that when I was young, I'm about to say when I was a kid.
That's way back.
Yeah, I know. But when I was younger, in my 20s, I would always talk myself out of doing stuff. And now I'm at the point where I don't. And the reason why, and this is before social media came along, I was concerned about what other people were thinking about.
Yeah, which is, you know, a lot of people go through that same cycle. So, I think, you know, that right there kind of contribute to, you know, like I was saying, whether they're going to be successful or be a failure. Because if you really think about it, Griff, I know it's human nature for us to try to please everyone, but it comes a point where, regardless of what they think, regardless what even what your parent might say, you have to do what you need to do for yourself, or if you have a family, what you need to do for your family. You know, the success part of it comes from what, once you define what your success is, then you go out there and then you put in the effort to achieve that success, your success, not what your parents say you should be doing. Not what your homegirl, your homeboy say you should be doing, not what society in general say you should be doing. As long as you're not causing harm to another human being, define your own success and do what you need to do to reach that. You know, it's simple as that.
Yeah, I agree. What you got, Q?
What do I have to say about that? Thank goodness my lights came back on before this podcast was done recording. That's what I got to say about that. But no, seriously, you know, I'm kind of with you, Griff. I mean, listen, I don't let anybody influence my thinking about what it is that I have to do. At this point, it's my decision. I've made the decision. I wouldn't have gone down this road had I not felt comfortable and seen everything that was going to come with it to make that decision. So there's really not a whole lot that anybody could say to me that would take me off of my course right now, because I believe in what I'm doing that strong. I have the proof. I've proven to myself, I've shown myself approved that my concept and my business model works. You know, I don't need somebody else to tell me that it works right now. I see it. I see it working. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nobody can tell me something about my business that I don't already know.
I like that. See, that's that right there. Too many people, and I've been saying this over and over and over again, there's too many people out here in this notary world and even other business industries out here, the entrepreneurship, but let's stick with the notary for a moment, that are constantly telling people what they shouldn't do, what they can't do, what they shouldn't get paid, rather than really encouraging them. The only thing they're really encouraging notaries to do is to spend money on the next thing that's supposed to be the end all be all. But then when you do that, then they say, and we got something else. And it's like, but at the same time that a person is saying, okay, I'm gonna go out here. And all you gotta do is look, new notaries, if you really wanna figure out how these people really think about you in your Facebook group, I've been there all excited, do a video and post it saying, I am so happy that I just did my first order of $60. Watch all the hate come at you. Watch how they turn on you.
Well, you have to be specific. So you would have to say, I just did my first refi.
I did my first refi and it was 210 pages and I made $60.
With scam bags.
Oh my goodness. You're gonna if they still had the downvote, if you could still do a thumbs down, mm-hmm. you would get thumbs down for that.
Yeah, don't forget the scan bags. Yeah. You gotta include with
and
scan
I had
bags.
To do scan bags, and it was an hour away. I had a 2 hour round trip for $60, 210 pages, and I had to scan back and make the FedEx drop. That's when you find out about it. You see the true nature of them folk come out.
Yep.
You need to stop. They'll tell you, you need to stop taking orders like that, because if you continue to take them, mm-hmm. it's never
going
to change.
You're hurting the business. Mm-hmm. Right.
You're hurting the business.
Yep.
Right.
Plus, you don't get paid for a net 90. So here you go. You're going to wait 90 days to get your $60.
Mm-hmm. Wait 90 days to even get to $300 if there's one of them out there. But
yep.
But you're right, man. You know, you're not letting anybody influence you on your business. Everything, you know, and I know even for you, Matthew, and I mean, I know you also do the real estate. I know that is truly huge, that you got to be able to stand firm on what you believe that you need to do for your business, especially with the real estate, because somebody like maybe tell you, you know, flipping ain't the thing to do, or you should assign it for this or sign it for that amount. I mean, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, man, look, I want to say one of the recent deals that I had. I remember when I got the lead, you know, I talked to the seller. I was able to get it under contract. Then I was reaching out to buyers within the area, and all the buyers that I sent the information to, I want to say at least 90% of them said, oh, that's not a deal. That's not a deal. Or you're asking too much money for it. That's not a deal. And then I found this buyer that a friend of mine introduced me to him, the numbers make perfect sense. So if I had listened to those other buyers who came out and look at the property, who tried to lowball me, and look, I could accept a lowball offer, you know, because I, at that time I just wanted to close the deal. But at the same time, I understood that the area where that property was located, I'm like, I just need to find the right person. Everybody's telling me it's not a deal. Then I realized, okay, it's not a deal for them. So if the number doesn't work for them, let's find out who's willing to accept those numbers, and which buyer those numbers make sense. So I found another buyer. To him, he was like, this makes sense for me. He made the offer, no question asked. He wasn't even worrying about what I was making. And then as I, you know, once we closed and I'm looking at it, I was like, you know what? If I was in a bad situation financially, I probably would accept the lower offer because I just wanted mm-hmm. to make money. But then because I understood the area, I understood the comps, what the values of the other property was, and I know for a fact this is a deal. Mm-hmm. So I waited it out. And then I made three times more than what the previous buyer had offered me. So it's all knowing, you know, you have to understand, know your numbers, like know your strength, know your weaknesses. Because like I said, if I was in a bad thing, in a bad situation, I was like, okay, so let me just make an easy 10K off of this and go about my business and not even worrying about the next person. So it does play a major factor within, you know, the real estate industry as well. Because like I said, if I was a newbie, like the guys that I was reaching out to, they would have took advantage of it, because they know on the back end they would have made way more money, because, you know, I didn't understand the numbers properly.
Would you say that you needed to go through a couple newbie experiences though to understand that? Because I find, like, especially here in the notary world, you have a lot of newbies that are trying to make more advanced. Well, yeah, let's say that they're trying to make advanced claims and do advanced negotiations with signing services without having gone through a couple of instances where, yeah, you're not coming out ahead, but you're getting the experience that you need to be able to actually understand why those numbers make sense. Because right now you got a lot of people coming out saying, okay, I'm getting my commission. I want you know, I'm not going to take nothing but 150 because that's what I was told, and that's going to get me to the dollar amount that I'm trying to hit a lot more faster. Yeah. So I'm not taking nothing that's not that. In your industry, like it's almost the same thing. Do you kind of feel like you kind of needed to go through a couple of deals where it's like these are my cutting teeth deals?
Yeah. I went through a there was a deal that I did with one of my partners in North Carolina, and you know, I didn't quite understand the different. I think that was when I first started. I didn't quite understand like the different strategies that was out there. Till this day. And every time I talk to him, I bring it up to him. I'm like, man, we should have never wholesale that property because it was near a university. And now that I'm looking at it, the owner was selling it for about $5,000 to us. And because I didn't have the knowledge of, you know, what people are doing now as far as rentals, the Airbnb, stuff like that. So we end up selling it so cheap. Now every now and then I pull up the address, you know, if I'm working in my CRM, then I see the property value has gone up tremendously. But because I didn't have the knowledge, because you know, at that time it was just like, okay, so let's close the deal, make whatever we can make on it. And so I had to go through that experience. So now every time I get a new lead or a new deal, you know, I remind myself of what happened in the past. Like, okay, we can't rush through this, so let's explore every aspect of it. Let's find out exactly what the property is worth. Let's find out the different strategies that we can use as far as for us to get rid of that property. So I think it's important to go through that phase, so you learn, so that way next time an opportunity comes, you can explore it from different angle versus just, you know, just one-sided.
Yeah. Well, I think also what's good for those people who say, well, I only want to make this dollar amount, I think that's, hey, that's cool. Because at the end of the month, when you really haven't gotten enough orders or gotten any orders at that dollar amount, you don't see a whole lot of $150, $200 orders. But then when you reflect back and you see that there was a whole lot of orders that came through that was $100 or less, and if I add all of that up, I could have made this amount. That going through that experience should change your perspective to some degree, because even if you're talking about working direct, how do you ensure that they're going to pay you that $150, especially if they don't have it? And that's the thing that people keep forgetting. Right. They've listened to the lie that, oh, everybody got this money. And I'm like, how do you know what somebody else has? How do you know what this business has? They're telling you, I'm going to give you this. And you're like, well, nah. But then at your W-2 that you're getting ready to go to the next morning, they told you all we got is this. And you said, okay, I'll make it work. So I don't understand how you can't make this work. But then that's the inexperience of an entrepreneur, that you don't understand how to make that work, given the fact that you don't, you know, because you don't know the tax, then, you know, you're not even paying attention to your tax breaks. But, you know, like in Virginia, you get to deduct $5 for every time you stamp face to face, 25 if it's online. So you have tax deductions. So you don't know how to work it. Most of us know how to work a W-2 that's paying us low, but we know how to still manage it to where we can take care of our family. Use those same skills in your business. That's all you got to do, and you will see things, and
no, that's true,
and everything will lay out. But you can't be scared to do it, and you can't be looking for approval from other people who are in the same category as you, which is green in your experience. And then those who are experienced, they ain't got time to really help you. They don't want to help you. They just trying to get you to buy the next thing they selling. And you're looking for somebody's approval. Sometimes you just got to roll with it. Trust it for yourself. And then remember, first of all, you ain't got to tell nobody what you doing and how you doing it. So you go do it, make it work.
No, you're right. You're right, Griffin. I have a really good example. And, you know, I'm glad that you brought this up, because working with, you know, the Atlanta Economic Mobility Forum, you know, I have a set price that I've set for my services. And when we were discussing the project, you know, we discussed, okay, I'd like this, and this. And then it came time to discuss prices. So I gave him my price and he was fine, but he said, but listen, you know, I'm working with a nonprofit here and I'm working with nonprofit money. I've been given this budget. So at that moment, I had a decision to make. Do I stand tall with my prices and price myself just for the things that we've talked about? And that would have been it, because his budget would have been spent up a lot. Or do I say, okay, let's work within your budget, because I saw how big of a project it was going to be. And I heard a little bit of his story about why he was even coming to me and seeking assistance. So I took less to stay within the budget for him and his project for what he had to do, which has led to 4 more invoices over the course of 2 weeks, because I've been able to work within his budget. He's been able to go back to his supporters to show, this is what we've gotten done. I found somebody that can get this quality of work done for our event. And guess what? More money was allotted to the budget once they saw the quality of work, which allowed more invoices to come my way. So that's exactly what you were saying, Griff. You know, sometimes you have to look at the situation and understand the moment that you're in right now. And sometimes you got to be like Mathern and stick to your guns. But sometimes you have to know when to fold them.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's part of being an entrepreneur and reading the room, understanding where you are, being present in the moment and understanding your business, where you're trying to go, because that's your foundation, and being able to make those split key decisions when you need to, when you're working business.
And you're right, because this past week I had, it was a purchase property. And now what I was getting paid was low. Okay. I mean, I guess you could say low. And then see, this is where, as a little quick sidebar, this is where you got to realize, whether signing company or title company, sometimes they don't know how to negotiate fees, because I got 60. The notarial fee was 125. I got 60. Mm-hmm. The signing company took 65. The property that we was closing on was worth like $1.1 million.
Jeez.
And I looked at him like, do y'all not know how to negotiate fees? Do you, for yourself, right, do you not know how? Not for me, but do you, signing company, know how to negotiate fees? I'm like, you got a property and this is a big deal. This is a big time the signing company should have had the fee should have been about $225, $250, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Even if they would have kept, let's just say if it was $225, they would have kept $125 and gave me $100. I'm cool. But it's just the whole concept of, okay, y'all don't know how to negotiate. So I'm sitting there, I do the order, and I'm talking to the real estate agent. And I'm filling him out, he's filling me out. And every single time that I talk to these guys and girls, I let them know that I'm an e-notary and explain to them, hey, here's the benefit of that. So at the end of the conversation, after him, you know, signing, and then I was talking with him, gave him my card. And one of the things that I said to him, which sparked his interest, I talked to him about, I said, yeah, one of the things I like work as a notary, I get to work with people sometimes who are disabled, have difficulties getting, you know, out of the house. And he said, wait a minute. He said, you know what? I like that. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I have a client that it takes her an hour to get ready to get out of the house because of her age and her mobility issues. And she uses two canes. Mm-hmm. He said, maybe next Friday, if we get the paperwork together, I may have you just go over there to her and get the paper signed. I said, no problem. I said, I'm available next Friday.
Yeah.
I'm going to make it work. I'm going to make it work somehow, some way. I will make it work. I will find a way to make it work. So then we talked price, and I picked up, I said, okay, he's going to want to know price. And I told him, I said, look, I said, my fee, I just deal with a flat fee. I said, $150. I said, now I felt that I could have went 200, but I said, you know what? I said, let me be on the safe side and go 150. Because I've gone with 150, and then the person said, well, you know, we can pay you 200. I'm like, okay, I'll take two. So I said, okay, cool. So I went 150, and my explanation to him, I said, well, you know, the fee typically nationwide ranges between 75 and 300. And I learned that from two people, Mark Wills and Bill Soroka, because they both, back in 2018-19, was talking about the fees, and they were saying you can go as low as 75 or as high as 300 on average. You got that range. So I figured was double of 75, 150. Was half of 300, 150. That's where I come up with the 150. And I told him, and I told him, I said, now, if for some reason, you know, if that doesn't fit within your budget, 125, 100 will work also. He said, no, I got a lot of high-end clients. They can afford to pay 150, and that's a fair. And he, and this is when you know you got them. He said, that's a fair price.
Yep, you're good at that moment.
And I was like, bet. I was like, bet. So, and see, I hear the marketing thing, but I approach marketing different. I approach it from the problem solving. I refuse, and this is my personality, I refuse to beg anybody for anything. When I was out there on the dating scene, I never begged a woman to be with me. When I was, when I was like, either you with me or you're not. You like me? Cool. You don't? All right, cool. All this here playing games and stuff and buy me six drinks and stuff. I ain't buying you a jack. Girl, you feel me? Well, okay, all right, we kicking it tonight. If not, you move on out the way, I'm going to the next one.
Cold-blooded.
Yeah. That's how I am. So even in business, I'm like, look, here's what I have to offer. You have a need. I can meet it. Either we're going to roll with each other or we not. Because you, Mr. Business Owner, should know what your needs are. And the moment you come across me and I communicate what I can do for you, you should be able to say yay or nay instantly. This guy can meet my need. If that person can't figure out whether or not I can meet their need after I tell them what I bring to the table, you're probably not a person that I want to be in business with, because you're undecisive and you ain't even thinking about solving your own problems. Because that's what we're there for. We're there to solve problems. So when I go into my marketing is, I'm going to tell you, here's how I can solve your problem. Because I already know that what a real estate agent wants to be able to do, close the deal. So I share with them how I can close a deal. I can help you close a deal as an e-notary. I can help you close a deal face-to-face. I can close it here in your office. I can close it over there, 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 there. Wherever you want me to go, I can make it happen. If you got a military member that's in Qatar, I can meet them at 2 a.m. If you got somebody on the Eastern Shore, I can meet them at 6 a.m. Now that we've established there's no limitation on where I can go, the question is, do you have anything going on in those areas? Have I asked for work? No.
Yep.
I ain't begged for no job. I ain't come in there talking about what kind of work y'all got. Do you got some closings? Man, bump that.
Let me persuade you by bringing you lifesavers.
I'm coming in telling you, here's where I'm at.
No, I'm telling you, this is the problem I'm going to solve for
That's
you.
It.
That's what you're telling them. This is a problem that I can solve. This is what my service is based on. Either you can use it or not. I'm sure as I tell you about the problems that I solve, you're going to think about all the problems that you've had in these situations and understand this is exactly the value that I bring. Because you understand what that problem and the headache that I brought to you before.
That's why a lot of people's Google business page ain't working, because they're not communicating that. They're sitting up here making it look like they're in a party with all these pictures. There's nothing wrong with having pictures, but daggone.
Nobody care about your damn pictures. Sure.
Look, I met a guy.
Sorry,
me
Matthew.
And the wife went. And I will say this real quick. Me and the wife, we was at the grocery store tonight, and I'm walking down, and I'm always constantly looking, panning my eyes, panning, because you never know who you might see in these stores that could be a business opportunity. So there's this one company, this one group called Fit Realty here. I don't know if they're nationwide or just local, but it's Fit Realty around the corner from me. I tried marketing to them when I did, the people looked at me like, they didn't want to have nothing to do. And I came in with the wrong mindset. I came in with the, y'all got some work for me? And they looking at me like, no. And I'm like, all right. Well, and I took my tail and left. So here it is, 2.5 years later, I run across a guy in the Walmart. He has the sweatshirt on. It says Fit Realty. And I said, hey, what's going on, man? Come on through. And I said, you work with Fit Realty, right? Yeah. He said, look, man, it would be bad for me not to give you my card. I'm a notary. And you know, sometimes y'all need a notary in your hip pocket to help y'all out with things. And he's like, yeah. I said, here you go. Broke it down to him. I said, I can help you out here, 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 and here. If you ever need me for anything, I said, and even if I said, look, I don't have to do the closing, because that's what a lot of notaries make the mistake. You try to force your way in to say, mm-hmm. let me do the closing. I don't ask them for the closing. I said, I don't have to do the closing, but if you have a client who may need one document signed, an affidavit or something, and he said, power of attorney. I said, correct. A power of attorney. See, I already got his mind thinking. He said, a power of attorney. I said, correct. A power of attorney or anything. I said, I can do that. Even though you have a notary already that's going to close, I can do the other notarial stuff that that person may not want to do.
Yeah, you know, a lot of times prior to the actual signing, there's documents that need to be taken care of. I can take care of those documents. You know, if you need somebody to run mm-hmm. out there, I'll be there. Yeah. You got no problem. You don't even have to worry about, you know, paying the signing service fee and all that other stuff.
I told him, I said, it only have to be notarized. I said, it's not even about the notarizing of the document. If you need me to get something done for you, I said, just give me a call and I will help do that for you. I said, and if you're trying to expand in any other cities around here, but you got clients that can't make it back to you, I said, just give me a call and I will go down there to them and get it taken care of for you and help you. Notice the words I'm getting ready to say here, and help you to accommodate them and to meet their needs. That's what we're there for. But if you go in there talking about, I want you to figure out to give me money.
Service provider. Jeez. Like, just go for it. Especially when it comes to the notary business, we're service providers. We're there to help.
Yep.
Our business is based on being available to help people move within commerce or the legal system. That's what we're there to do. You know, and so you have to solve those problems when you're going to all these networking events and all these marketing things that people tell you to run out and do. If you're not talking about solving a problem, you're not talking to these people. You're not. You think that they're like you mm-hmm. and they're entrepreneurs. They're not. You know, they work for somebody. You know, a lot of them are career driven.
Mm-hmm.
They only have time for what's going to help them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you trying to get work and coming off desperate. I need this work. Can I work? Can I do some work for you? It don't work like that. Talk to these professionals like professionals. Here's the problem that I solve for you.
And if you think about it, when you approach them with the asking them for work, you're basically asking them, I need you to go find some work for me. Yep. And you're not paying them to do this. They're like, wait a minute, I already got a W-2. That's paying me to do this, and you want me now to have your business in my mind and figuring out how I can get you work, and you're one notary and there's 16 other notaries that's coming here with cookies and donuts and all that asking me the same thing, but ain't none one of y'all came in and said, here's how we can be a benefit to you. Here's what our business can do for you. If you can do something for them, they will be able to give you work. You ain't got to ask them for work.
No, they do have work.
That's established. They got work. The question is, can you build confidence in them for them to trust that you can do the job?
No, you're right. You're right. I've actually helped a few real estate agent here in my area where they needed some closing document done where, you know, I had to go meet them at the client's house in order for them to get the closing done. And not only that, you know, I had a few of them who reached out to me because they needed, you know, an order to come to the office, you know, finding different ways where I can accommodate them until I go to the office or the closing doesn't happen. And not only not only are you providing a service to the real estate agent, from my experience, there was this, I met this real estate investor that when I was helping the real estate agent close that transaction, now me and him, we talk on a regular basis. Now we're looking to get some stuff done as well, because that gives you the opportunity to network with the other individual, because you never know who, because you're not just there to provide service to the agent. You're also there to provide service to the person who's purchasing the home. That person can be another business owner that may indeed need a notary service, you know, that, you know, they've been struggling to find a notary that's consistent, a notary that's reliable. Now, because I was able to help them with that, now I'm in contact with that real estate investor. Now we were looking for ways where we can work together here within the area. So just because if you just go in trying to make the money, most agents gonna think, okay, you just there to take money from me.
Yeah.
So why should I work with you? You're not solving my problem. You just want to take money away from me. So
money's the wrong, and we've said it before, and I'll continue to, if all you're out there is for is to make money, yes, we get into entrepreneurship in order to make money to support our families. The good entrepreneurs are the ones that are in it to grow their business, and it's about the service that they offer. They love the service that they offer. They're passionate about helping people, whatever market it is that they've chosen to go into. That's where the good entrepreneurs come from. You hear that in Griff when Griff talks about his notary business. You know, you hear that from me when I'm talking about Captivated. You hear that from Matherin when he's talking about wholesale real estate.
Yeah.
Right? These are things that we love, we are passionate about, and we give and give to the people that are our prospective clients, because all we're there to do is to help them get to their finish line.
Yep. That's it.
We're there to help them.
But they're trying to, but the notaries have been trained and told everybody. I mean, you think about it. You're literally saying, as a notary, that the signing, title, escrow, settlement people, the lender, they all have to make sure that they do good by you. That they craft their fees and everything in order for you to be feeling successful, that you feel compensated to the proper level in order to do this signing. That is not their problem. That is not their role to do this for you. It is not. But you're trying to make them feel guilt. Them. Well, I mean, you know, I done worked hard to be a notary. You know, I done spent a lot of money. That ain't their problem. Who cares how much you spent? Nobody told you they had to do all of that.
Did they tell you how much it cost them to start the title company?
Exactly.
I'm sure yeah. If they told you, you'd shut up.
It takes a lot. What does it take for a lender, for the loan officer to be qualified to even do mortgages and stuff? I mean, all of what they have to go through. Well, I got bills. The notary saying, okay, well, daggone, I'm sure the settlement, I'm sure the daggone signing it. Everybody else probably got 3 to 4 times more expenses than the average notary. But the notary is acting like they're supposed to get all of the money. It all got to come to them. And then you decide, how much everybody else should get.
Yeah, like we got, man, I really don't want to Google this, but yeah, notary kingpins. I better not be associated with notary kingpins, I swear.
You never know.
But you got people out here trying to be freaking the Nino Brown of the notary world. No, handing out turkeys and everything on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
It's a cold world. It's a cold world.
You know, so, and you know, to bring it back to, you know, the original point of this podcast is, you know, you got to think about all these things and ask yourself these questions. Do it now. If you've been in business and you've never answered this question, even if you're doing well, can I really do this business? Because even if you're doing well, we know how business, it's up and down. If you haven't yet experienced a down month, not even just a week, a down month, a serious down month, two down months, three down months. Can you actually hang in there? Do you have what it takes? If your notary business ain't popping for 3 months, are you going to stick with it?
Mm-hmm.
Are you?
Yeah.
Are you? And that's something that everybody has to answer for themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, if the money ain't rolling in, are you going to continue to go that way? Are you going to fight through it? Are you going to take the time to go out there and learn for yourself and start doing things for yourself when you don't have the money to spend on additional training? Let's be honest now. Let's not act like everybody's just swimming in money. When business is slow and you can't afford the additional marketing training or the additional marketing solutions, can you pull through for yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's what people don't think about.
Nope. 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 They're not thinking about it. They're not flexible. They're not fluid. They're not doing what needs to be done because they're focused on the wrong thing. And then, and see, what makes you refocus is the down months. Because then you realize, oh, snap, I need them $65.
That's what I just went through. That's what I just went through was the down months.
Nope. And I've been going
through it. I got to refocus.
I've been going through it the past few weeks. This week was the most busiest that I've been. The past few weeks. It happens.
And I'm
even with my notary business. I told y'all that I hadn't been marketing for my notary business when I started marketing it again. 2 days ago, Friday, I get a call from one of the local retirement and nursing facilities that I'd been trying to get into. Their administrator contacted me directly to set up an appointment for next week. And I started talking to her and I was like, hey, you know, I've been trying to get in there and find the right person, but I haven't been able to find anything online about, you know, possibly offering my services. I know that, you know, a lot of times you guys have family coming in and out and it's hard to find notaries. She's like, yeah, that is an issue. I was like, are you the person to talk to? And she said, actually, I am the person to talk to. And so we set up some time on Wednesday for me to go in and chat with her for 15-20 minutes because she herself had some things that she wanted to address with some of the policies that they have there, and she does feel that they need a notary that is local that can get to them quickly at all times of the evening.
Yep, that's very important.
So, and you want to know how she found me? I wish I had a drum roll. Facebook.
Facebook.
He's on fire.
Facebook. That's how she found me. You know, down times are great for regathering yourself, regrouping, realigning your vision, checking your heart, checking your foundation.
Yeah.
You know, assessing where you're at, assessing where you're standing. You know, taking a look at why is it slow right now.
Seeing where the money's coming from. That's what I had to figure out. That's one of the things I learned from listening to Millionaire Billionaires Q, is that they talk about looking where the flow of money, where is it coming from? That, okay,
right.
I want to make money here. But guess what? People love buying this trinket over here. Let me go get some more of those things and sell them. And next thing you know, you're making a ton of money off of that. So
that's what happened with Captivated. Like, I wanted to make money, and I am making money helping notaries. I still am doing so. But where was the real money at? It's in events.
Yeah.
And the notary events, that's cool. But there's an entire business world out there of people that need marketing materials. They need backdrops, photo backdrops. They need idle video when they're on panels. They need so many different things, you know. And I saw it. Actually, it was brought to me. Thank you, Samantha Smith. Call her Samantha, not Sam. you know, she helped me bring that vision to fruition by presenting an opportunity, because I told her that that's where I saw, you know, my skill set being best used. And she was able to connect the dots and help me move in that direction. That's where the money's at. Not to say that there's not money in the notary world. I love you guys and all the notaries that I've worked with, and I look forward to working with more of you. But as far as building up a portfolio as a graphic designer and really taking captivated, you know, marketing to the another level, mm-hmm. that's where the money's at.
Yeah.
And you have to adjust according to your business.
And you got to stick with it. Now, check this out. I meant to say this earlier. But the guy who I did the order for, the closing for, got paid 60, who said he might have a client that's, you know, slightly have mobility issues. Now, there was another guy I was doing a closing for. The first guy, the mobility issue real estate agent, and this other guy I'm talking about now, they both work for the same real estate company. But check this out. Mm. I gave both of them the same pitch. One understood it. The other one didn't. The first person, the older guy, the one with the mobility issue, he was like, I get it. I see what you're talking about. And when I talked to him about the e-notary stuff, you know what he did? He was the first person that ever asked me, he said, how do you do the ID checks? What's that process? So I knew I had him then. Now the younger.
Oh yeah. It's processing. Right, he's seeing it. He saw the
now
vision.
The younger real estate agent who worked. Now this, the older one works out in Sandbridge separate by himself. The younger one works in the corporate office. And when I pitched to the younger one and I gave him my card, first thing he says out of his mouth, oh, well, we have notaries already. Oh, we just go with the title company. I say, okay, cool. But guess what? They're not 24 hours. And he's like, well, yeah. I said, I'm not trying to take business from them. Keep them. Keep using them. But at some point in time, you may be in a situation where you need me. See, he didn't see it.
Yep.
But the next person did. And if I would have allowed myself to be discouraged by that, I would have never gave my pitch again. And look, check. I'm sitting there with a gentleman. He runs some church and he was selling some property in Arizona. And I did the same thing to him, gave him a pitch. And at the end, handed him my card. And I said, well, if you or your parishioners or anybody of the organizations that you're working with need to know, well, we got notaries here. And his secretary, she yelled out to him, but ain't none of us 24 hours like him. She was trying to tell him.
They're telling you, oh, we ain't doing all the things that he did.
Because I kept saying, yeah, I'm 24 hours. She got it. She was like, but we ain't 24 hours, because he was acting like, well, what can you do for us that the ones we have? We ain't 24 hours like he is.
Yeah, you better get him.
You better use him.
You better get his number.
So, but it's amazing. People were picking
up. Like, because once I'm off. I'm here 4:30. I am out. Do not call me.
Yep. And that's how I get them.
Letting them know.
I get them. And then just as a piece of advice to those of y'all listening, let's just say if they're like, well, you know, we have an attorney. Here's what I tell them. I said, well, no, look, working with attorneys is great when they're not on vacation or playing golf. And then they get, or they're in court. And they like, yeah. I said, your attorney is not going to go to a client's house and do a closing. No, they not. I said, I'm not saying don't use your attorney. When your attorney is not in court, not at the golf course, and not on vacation, use them. When they are, use me. That's all you got. And they said, okay.
That's it. Ain't nobody available 24/7. There's going to be a time. And when that time comes, just have the number to call that. We don't have to worry about it.
Yep. Because you got to make people think about the problem. You got to, if you don't think, make them think. See, you're trying to make them think about how to get you money, how to get you business. No, you got to make them think about the problem that they have and that they need to solve. Even if it was a problem 2 weeks ago, yeah, we did have a problem getting them to come in.
you know what? Now that I think about it, it would have been nice to have a notary to go out to them. I said, well, you know what? That nice has now arrived. You got me now. All you gotta do is give me a call. I'll get you taken care of. And then I walked out and I'm done. I ain't gotta sell nothing else. I ain't gotta talk about my E&O.
That's
I ain't gotta talk about none of that.
Nope. Ain't nobody's business. Your E&O is not anybody's business. I'm sorry. I don't see no businesses out there outside of you notaries talking about, here's what my insurance policy coverage is. What is wrong with you? Why would you tell that to the public?
That's a liability right there. Just putting yourself at risk.
You don't do that for your car insurance.
Putting yourself at risk. Nope.
Right. Like
some of y'all don't have car insurance.
Definitely ain't saying nothing.
Yeah, we ain't going
right
down.
But for like these signing services, they already got that information, so I don't understand why notaries for their regular business are just telling people, oh, I'm insured for this much amount.
Somebody told them it would impress this? It would be impressive.
It don't impress nobody. I don't care. I don't care how much my plumber's insured up to. Mm-hmm. Can he get the job done? Can he be here within an hour?
Yeah, she show up.
Yeah.
You're right. You're right. That is good.
Yeah, I mean, look, this business is easy, and a lot of businesses are out there that are easy. You just got to really think for yourself. Yeah, and once I started thinking for myself, and sometimes what will help you to think for yourself, unfortunately, is you spending money on these things that people are selling. But after you gone in there, and now you got to think. It's like, okay, wait a minute. What are you trying to say? What are you teaching me? Okay, you say I should do. You know what? That don't make a bit of sense. And sometimes you need that in order to get your juices flowing and you come up with a plan for yourself. And that's all I did. I listened to what other people said.
I feel like the notary world is a mix of FOMO, fear of missing out, and trauma bonding.
Yeah.
A lot of trauma bonding, unfortunately.
I think that that's what they're using to sell right now. The fear of missing out on being, you know, a six-figure notary. And, oh my God, this is happening. I can't believe it. Are you guys experiencing this too? Oh, let's talk about it in Clubhouse. I'm sorry, Clubhouse. The ladies that run the clubhouses that I go into, you guys are great. It's nothing personal, but it's trauma bonding.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I know Griff, you go in there and try to speak some sense to
this. Oh man, look, I went in there.
It's trauma bonding.
Oh yeah, some of them are. Because you know, I'm looking the word trauma bond because I had never heard it before. But you know, some of these people, they need folk. Look, I had one person, this dude, and I don't care if he hears it or not. For the most part, I think he's a nice guy. But for some reason he got triggered when I talked about calling a notary who may have made a mistake and, you know, and trying to help them out with it. And the statement that he made next didn't make sense. And I've had several notaries who was in that room call and tell me, they're like, what is wrong with him? Why did he say this? He said, don't call nobody because, and I might be paraphrasing, but basically what he was saying is, calling a notary, somebody who you don't personally know, opens you up to getting your ass whooped. And I'm like, wait a minute. We're here trying to supposed to be helping each other. And you mean to tell me, because see, what he doesn't realize is that the way people took what he said, they didn't say it publicly, they didn't come out. But the way the people who called me told me, they said, so what he's saying is don't call him if he don't personally know you, because he might come after us. They're like, wait a minute.
And
they was like, so does he, this is what they were saying. They're like, so I guess he does he really act like that toward his clients with that kind of attitude? It's like, because it didn't make sense. It didn't make sense whatsoever. And it's like, people are triggered for the smallest little thing. And see, one of the things, one preacher said, fear is a mask for anger. I'm sorry, I always mess this up. Anger is a mask for fear. I always get it backwards. Anger is a mask for fear. When people get angry about something, it's because they're fearful. They are fearful. that they might lose out on something, which goes into the fear of missing out. So yeah. When they're angry and you start mentioning something, so if somebody, and this might not be his case, you know, this been being that, but other people who I've dealt with on Clubhouse, they get angry with me because I think sometimes they're fearful that I'm going to say something that's going to cause the average notary not to spend money with them and to figure it out on their own.
Yep.
That has to be it.
That's true.
Because I'm trying to get notaries to use common sense and to think, to challenge, and to question the stuff that people are saying. And if people did that, they would then probably figure out, okay, you're a nice person, Mr. and Miss So-and-so, but to be honest, what you really have to offer isn't going to help me out at all, so I'm going to leave you alone. What you have to offer is not really for me and my state, so I'm going to leave you alone, which means that person's revenue base is gone. They don't want notaries understanding that they can question. They don't want notaries believing that they can go figure it out on their own. They want notaries to think that I can't figure this out on my own, so I need this stranger who I do not know.
God, if you listen, help!
That's what they want you to do. And then you go to them and then they come back and be like one guy told me the other day, he said, man, he said, Griff, they. What? Oh, you told me this. He said, I asked somebody for help, my trainer for help. The trainer told me to take my question and throw it in the Facebook group and somebody will answer it. The trainer did not want
to,
did not want to take a chance in answering it wrong, but yet you're going to tell this person to throw it out there in the ocean of sharks. Yep. Now, the people who you telling to answer the question aren't supposed to know as much as the trainer. So the trainer's supposed to have the knowledge. And if the trainer can't help you, what good does it do giving your question out to a bunch of random people in a Facebook group to answer? And there's nobody to check whether or not they're saying what was right. I said, yeah, I was like, true. Dude, you can figure that out on your own, or just call me. And that's why he had contacted me, and me and him chopped it up. And next thing you know, he got his answer. He even texted me back, said, yeah, man, thanks for the help. It helped out tremendously. He got his HELOC done and he went on about his business and made his money. But this is what's going on. And
so hopefully he got rid of that trainer.
I know. But even with that, that's part of, maybe not for him, but for others, it's fear of missing out. They're scared that if I don't pay $40 a month, $39 a month, or whatever, to be in this group, I'm going to miss something. But then you spent 8-9 months in the group and you really haven't learned anything new, or that you couldn't have figured out on your own. Nope, and you just wasted your money, but you're scared to release it, to remove yourself from it, because, or some people just gossips. They just want to hear the gossip. And that's what goes on in a lot of them places. So,
not a gossiping. Look, if you guys are looking for some, like something to join, just join Griff membership on YouTube. That's it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, just join that. It's not expensive as what you are paying. Just join the membership, and I guarantee you'll learn a lot more those membership webinars than you will on Facebook.
Yeah, you'll get questions answered by me. I'm willing to stick my neck out there to help you get the answers. I'm not going to say, hey, just throw it out here in a little public forum and figure out, and let's see who answers the answer with the best BS that's possible. But that's what you're doing.
To go well.
I know nobody ain't going to like that, but that can really make them mad.
It is what it is. Stop taking advantage of folks out here, folks. We've been saying that for the longest. It's a cold world, guys.
Mm-mm. I know. Well, hold on, let me ask y'all something.
You guys got anything else? Well, okay, we do have something else.
What's up? What's some of the good movies
y'all? No, we're not trying.
What's some of the movies y'all been watching lately? If any.
I haven't really been watching any movies lately, man.
or even shows like on Netflix.
So I went back and started rewatching Billions again, which is a Showtime show. Great show about, you know, billionaires moving money around and getting entangled with the government and how strategic that they have to be to stay above the laws to be able to make maximum dollars and profits. I mean, we're talking like, you know, top five richest people in the country type show. But I think it's really interesting to see the conversations that they have in dealing with like the FDIC and the states and whatnot, and how they try to monopolize their empires. You know, I'm empire minded, so I like to see, you know, those types of shows that show a high level of thinking and strategy. So I've been watching Billions. I've actually been watching a lot of Impractical Jokers. It's a great show to have on while I'm working. You know, it's light, it's not serious. They do some weird stuff.
Yeah, they do.
You know, it just keeps the heart young, I guess you could say. That's where I'm at.
Oh man, I've been I watched that Bernie Madoff documentary. Yeah.
Did you?
It was really interesting. Interesting to good, you know, and oh my goodness, he got over on the people.
So what's that on a Rotten Tomatoes? Is that like a 63?
Yes.
Interesting to good. Maybe like a 71.
Yeah, it was good, man. He got over on the people really, really good. I mean, he got over on them, you know. And then
we have the perfect name for that.
Yeah, too. Madoff.
Madoff. Bernie Madoff with the money.
Yeah, Madoff. Yeah, he made off all right.
Yeah, he made off with it.
Yeah, you know, but he even insulated his kids from it because he knew what he was doing was wrong, but he made sure his kids stayed away from it. But man, he was doing some foul stuff and all of that. And then I was watching this one show called Diplomat. And that's on Netflix.
Diplomat. I think I saw that. I didn't watch it, but I saw that.
That one. Yeah, same here.
Oh man.
But I haven't watched it yet.
It was good. It was really good. It was just showing you the tug of war because basically the UK got attacked. Their ship got attacked on one of the warships, and they trying to figure out who did it and all of the conniving and backdoor stuff. Just showing you how things
Family squabbles.
Yeah. There was another one that I saw on Amazon called Rabbit Hole. I think, what's his name? The guy that played in 24.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's called Rabbit Hole. I think it was Kiefer Sutherland that was in.
See, Kiefer Sutherland, I became a fan of his from that show that's on Netflix.
Designated
Survivor. I think I know
what it's called. It's Rabbit Hole.
That's on my list.
So how is it so far?
Rabbit Hole is good. They had so many twists in there. I was like, okay, you got me all twisted up in here. I was like,
I'm about to check it out because I just, last show I watched on there beside the Designated Survivor was Night Agent.
I saw that one too. Netflix. That was good.
So hopefully they come with a season two. I'll check out the Rabbit Hole at some point.
Yeah, it was some good ones. And the last one, I can't even remember I'm gonna name it, but it had something to do, it was some country and they had a flood. Their the dam broke and they basically wound up getting half their city flooded and stuff. And again, it just shows the hard-headedness of government, you know, that they don't listen to people and they wound up getting their city flooded.
They should have never put the dams up in the first place. I said they should have never put the dams up
in the first place. And that's what they found out.
That's true.
But you know, that's a whole nother conversation. I mean, if we ever really wanted to talk about some real things, we could talk about all the cities that have been buried underneath water and all the cities that were destroyed because they took away the water.
Oh, man.
No, there's a lot of them down south.
Yeah, the Mississippi, they changed the flow of the Mississippi.
You mean the Nile? I mean, anyway.
Yeah. Anyway. I wish I could remember. There was a
another conversation.
Yeah, they did a documentary on the Mississippi. Man. And they actually changed the flow of the Mississippi River. That's why so much of it's that area down there in Louisiana and stuff is so flooded, because they was moving the timber for the log industry, and they basically changed, they rerouted the way the water flowed so they can push the lumber back and forth, and it just decimated the ground there. And that's why when the hurricanes come through, that stuff floods so bad.
I will say this. There are a lot of land-made lakes out there that a lot of people think are natural. There's a lot of cities that are buried underneath there. Pyramids, even. But I think I'm going to stop talking on that.
It's a whole nother conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah, y'all struggling with notary stuff. Trust me, you ain't ready for that conversation. Anyway, you guys got anything else to say tonight? We are, it's almost midnight and we're at over an hour and a half. I think we should call a wrap.
Not much. Just know I'm looking for leads, guys. You know, North Carolina, pretty much anywhere. You know, send me any vacant properties, vacant lot, and get paid at closing. Simple as that.
We just talked about solving a problem. Well, we're asking for leads.
We're solving the homeowner's problem. That's trying to get rid of the distressed property, then I'm solving their problem of extra income, since that's all they want to do.
See, that's where you gotta go. Need some extra money. It don't cost you nothing but some attention to finding out what the address is. Throw it to Mathurin. You're gonna be a part of the deal, and he will make sure that you get paid for
it. Perfect, right there. All Q's right. The right guy for this.
It's very simple.
He's captivated.
Just send him the address. That's it. Send him an address. Get some money if he's able to make a deal on it. It costs you 2 seconds.
Yep.
Look at that. A lot better. See, that's where it comes, knowing your strength and your weakness. Choose the marketing, guys.
Short and simple. Send it over.
Yeah.
Get paid.
I'm just waiting for the next Kung Fu Panda to come out so we can do a watch party together. That's what I'm gonna do.
We're gonna do Griff, we're gonna do an Amazon watch party.
And Netflix will let you do it too. I'm gonna do a watch party. I think
is that new on Netflix? I know Amazon got it.
Even if I got a bootleg it, I'm gonna do a watch party and stuff. Have a bunch of notaries.
Uncle Griff is gonna play uncle to all our kids. He gonna send popcorn to the house and be like, y'all gonna watch Kung Fu Panda 3 with me.
I'm serious. I can't wait. I told y'all in the Kung Fu Panda, the last one, man, they even mentioned being a person talking about, I'm a notary. I was like, oh, snap. So,
Griff, that now, whoever said that, we have to find out who that was, and that will now be your logo.
I'll look it up. That's all right. But no, other than that, everything's good.
All right,
man.
Guys. Well, hey, it's been a great show. All of our listeners, hey, we really do appreciate all the feedback that we've been getting. All you guys sharing us on Instagram and filming live videos talking about us. That's awesome. You know, we truly appreciate that. Definitely hits home. It hits the heart bone. So thank you. Thank you for checking us out. Thank you for continuing to listen to us. We know that you guys are listening on a weekly basis. We see you. We hear you. We appreciate all the messages, and we're just happy to be here for you and to continue to bring the real notary.
Did you want to say anything about what happens in 6 days, 7?
Yeah, we're almost there. Yeah. So, wow, it just clicked to me. All right. So, by the time we record again, Griff is again going to be older than the world. And me myself, I will be a young hearted 38 years old on May 7th. So Griff, I'm gonna go ahead and wish you a happy birthday now. Happy birthday. I'm sure I know we're gonna talk. We'll probably talk on the birthday, but Yeah, so that's coming up this upcoming weekend. So we appreciate you. If for anybody that does choose to send us birthday shout outs, we appreciate it, but just remember that you have to send Griff his on Papyrus.
or on
tablets, like stone tablets, emerald tablets, or something.
Get my Amazon. Go to my Amazon store and get you a chisels and stuff and a hammer, and you can chisel it right on out. They even got birthday stones on there, so
yeah.
Oh my goodness! Well, happy birthday to you too, big man.
I appreciate it, man. Another year. Yeah, man. Yeah. I can't believe it.
I'll be 56.
Happy birthday, fellas.
Kicking.
56 BC? Is that when you're telling us you were born?
BC.
Okay.
Hey.
Oh, man.
I was there. I helped them out. I helped them off the cross and everything.
Oh, wow. Alright, on that note, hey, love your life, love your business, and love yourselves. We're out here.
We know the reason I'm sealed. Take the game over, we home now, we soldiers. Griff, Mathurin, and Q, the podcast, you can't hold us. Y'all heard the word. Griff, Mathurin, and Q, yeah, we on a verse. So diverse, with no rehearse, that's how we work. Authentic when we give it, if we said it, then we meant it. Not to be confused with other people's views. They get it how they get it, and we get it how we do. Look, homie, this is a whole different game. We got a whole different aim, we in a whole different lane. Yeah. We know the reason I'm sealed. This my everyday life. We know the reason sealed. Every day I hustle out here living it right. We know the reason sealed. Put the stamp down and step in front of the mic. Took the game over, we home now. We soldiers. Griff, Mathurin, and Q, the podcast, you can't hold us. We know the reason sealed. We know the reason sealed. This my everyday life.